nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not rest the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not to rest the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of stormy gale. My anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, we make strong in the Savior. Just in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
just give God a hand this morning. Thankful that He's there all the time. Before you're seated, take a moment, turn to your neighbor, and tell them, welcome to church.
Change. gathered in His name, but He is there for all who come, who run to Him in faith. He is there. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, God, for sending Him to earth to be with us, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to raise again that we might have a chance to be resurrected with Him. We thank You that there's power in His name, that He can overcome anything in this world. We ask, God, as Mike comes forward, that You would give us open hearts, God, open minds, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So we're having a little fun with this series. We're kind of one of the great joys of being a parent is the ability to embarrass your kids. Would you guys agree? And so last week I got home and Emma was like, "Oh my gosh, Dad, you really didn't take a selfie, did you, in church?" And so I think she's downstairs right now. So I'm going to like put this online and hashtag it, embarrassed daughter, you know. Wait a minute, I got to turn around. See, I'm not used to, okay, there we go. So I got to do one each week for Emma. Which is the best, which one? Okay, there's one. And so, So I'm having fun with this because I get to embarrass my kids. It's awesome. So anyway, it is kind of interesting, this world we live in, the social media world. And this morning, what we want to be talking about a little bit is comparisons. Now, typically when I start a new series, I didn't do this last week, but I want to mention a few books. If this is something you really are interested in, following Christ in a self-centered world, learning more about our identity in Christ, I want to give you a few books that you may want to read on your own or for further study. One of them is a book by Eric Geiger called Identity, Who You Are in Christ. A great book. Another one is by Craig Groeschel, and it's called Hashtag Struggles, Following Jesus in a Selfie-Centered World. It's a good book. And it's actually one of the chapters in it is where I got a lot of the information this morning. Another book called Alter Ego, Becoming Who God Says You Are. Another book called Who I Am, My Identity in Christ by Jerry Bridges. All these books talk about something similar, and that is we have an identity in Christ. We need to know who we are and whose we are so that we can live out the calling and the purpose that God has placed on our life. Now, the problem that we're going to be talking about this morning, and there's a trap we fall into, and it's a trap that we fall into, a comparison trap, where we constantly compare ourselves to others. Now, you know, kind of growing up, I don't feel like this was as much of an issue as it is now, and part of it is because of media, part of it is because of the internet, part of it is now we have HGTV. So you get to see every week, right, like all these picture-perfect houses and these people who are going house hunting looking at, oh, this kitchen is just too small and that kitchen is larger than my house. You know what I'm talking about? And they're like, oh, man, they're whining about it. And they're like, oh, I've got to have more and I've got to have bigger and I've got to have nicer. And then, you know, and so what that leads to is the dreaded words that any husband won't, you know, hates to hear at home is, honey, I think we need to redo and fill in the blank, whatever it is. And you're like, oh no, here we go again. And so even like yesterday, Jennifer's like, honey, I think we need to, I'm like, oh no, here it comes, you know, redo our pantry. And I'm thinking, well, that's not too bad. We can kind of just clean out the pantry. And she said, I'm going to go look at Pinterest for ideas. And that's when you know you're in trouble. Because when you go to Pinterest, you know, as a husband, it's getting serious. And what you thought was a small little project is going to turn into something big. And so just to open up this morning, I want to show you some pictures from Pinterest on kind of perception versus reality. And these are Pinterest fails, okay? And so here's a cake of a minion. And so you look on Pinterest, the top picture is what you see, and you think, oh, I can do that. The bottom picture is how it actually turns out. Can you relate? Okay, let's keep going. There's some more. There's this crayon art, this nice little crayon art. The Cookie Monster cupcakes. So if you try to do those, yeah, here's a little chick, I don't know, what, like cake pops, right? And they look so cute and cuddly, and then you make them, and it looks, yeah, bad. I like this one, a hedgehog cake. It looked like they put somebody's dentures in that bottom cake. I mean, oh yeah, little, you know, most of these are cooking, like little rolls that are a little cute, and yeah, in the reality, I like that one. So you get all these ideas, and and even sometimes pictures, you think, oh, that's so cute, I can do that, and then you try it, and that's what you end up with. Yeah, here's some more food, where somebody did something really nice and cute, and then you try it, and it just doesn't turn out that way. Is that all? Okay, that's all. And the thing is, we compare ourselves and we think, man, it's going to turn out this way. It's going to be great. And we don't just do it with crafts. We don't just do it with food. We do it with our lives. And so we're constantly in this trap of comparing ourselves, comparing our houses, comparing our stuff, comparing our kids. All right? And when we think our kids have to be perfect and polished and cleaned up and do everything, and we lose sight of reality, and reality is it's never the way that it appears online. And I hope you guys realize that social media has given us a window to compare ourselves to everyone we know, and even a lot of people we don't know. And we do this literally every day. I've heard Pinterest called mommy porn, right? Because it gives you an unrealistic depiction of something you'll never have. And there, that's in HGTV the same way, all these house shows, all the, and what it does, it sets us up to be disappointed. It sets us up to be dejected. It sets us up to feel like we're not good enough. Why? Because we're always comparing ourselves to someone else. Someone else has a cuter baby than us. Someone else has a bigger house than us. Someone else has a nicer car, a better job. Someone else has a more exciting life. And we're aware of it because we see them posting little pictures and selfies, and it's in our face every time we log in. And here's what I want you to realize. We're prone to compare ourselves because we have constant access to others. And when we realize that we're constantly doing that, I think you start digging down and seeing some of the roots of our problem with discontent. Some sociologists, they point to technology as a factor in people's dissatisfaction in life. And think about this. We're the first people in the world, in our world today, society today, that we can see real time into the lives of other people. We carry little phones around that have more power than the computers that powered the space shuttle. I hope you realize that, right? I mean, these things are incredible what we can do with them. And again, this is not a series against technology, but it's a series to maybe wake us up a little bit on the effects and the dangers of technology. And we carry these things around and we feel like we're missing out if we don't constantly check in and see what's going on with everybody else. It's TV, it's the internet, it's competitive lifestyle that we live in where everything's got to be bigger and better. And I'm embarrassed my kids too because I'm doing this thing, you know, and going back in my day. And back in our day, when we grew up, if you had a birthday party and you just had a few kids over, that was a big deal, right? And if it was like super special, you might get to have a birthday party at McDonald's. Okay? That's my generation a little bit. Now, you go to a birthday party and, oh my gosh, it's incredible. I mean, you've got coordinated outfits and games and activities and treat bags and you're like, whoa, where did this come from? And it's this comparison. We feel like we have to do something bigger and better than everyone else. A recent study kind of showed how social media affects people's moods. Researchers at two different universities did a study, and what they tracked, students who were regular Facebook users, and they had them complete a life satisfaction survey they had them complete it 5 times a day over several weeks. And what they found, after students spent time on Facebook, their survey showed them to be considerably less satisfied and more critical of their own lives after they'd been online. Does that surprise you a little bit? It doesn't when we step back and think about it, right? That people are dissatisfied after they've been online. It also indicated that about more than one third of the subjects felt significantly worse about themselves the more time they spent on Facebook. So why is this? The first thing I want to share this morning is this. We aren't designed by God to seek the image of others. We're designed to seek Him. And when we realize that, when we grab hold and realize that we're designed by God to seek Him, not to pattern our lives after someone else. We're called to pattern our lives after Christ. It's so easy to fall in this competitive world, and we think we've got to cook better than Rachel Ray. We think our houses, have to be made up and perfect, and we think we have to have the perfect birthday party, all this. And we get so caught up because we're constantly seeking the image of others. I want to be like them instead of I want to be like God. And I say this because I fall into the same trap that you guys do. It's the world we live in. We have to be aware of it. What we see online and on TV really doesn't reflect reality. I love what Stephen Furtick, he's a pastor down in Charlotte, he said this in one of his books. He said, we compare our behind the scenes with other people's highlight reels. And just, I mean, that makes sense, right? We compare our natural everyday life with what other people is the highlight. People don't put on Facebook when they wake up and their house is a complete wreck, and they don't take a picture of it and say, "Look how proud I am of this." No, I mean, they crop out the junk in their house and just show you the little part they did clean. And then we look at that and say, "Look how clean. Oh man, I'm a failure. My house doesn't look like that." I mean, do you see the problem we fall into? Everything is photoshopped and cropped and filtered and edited. And so it makes our lives just seem uninteresting. And I really think this has led to so many people feeling dissatisfied. Because we feel like no matter how much we have, it can't compare to what others have. And so that really kind of leads us into this next point, that comparing ourselves to others, it leads to really two big things. It leads to insecurity and it leads to envy. Insecurity and envy. To be insecure, it's really to lack confidence or trust, whether it's in ourselves or someone else. So there are many causes of insecurity, but one of the biggest ones is that we don't trust God. Another problem with insecurity is it just shows that we are relying on our stuff to bring us happiness. And when our stuff lets us down, and we find that the more we have, the more we're still not happy. What we find out here is that, man, maybe there's something wrong with me. That's the insecurity kind of, you know, you feel like, man, I don't have, for high school students, I don't have the boyfriend or the girlfriend, or I don't have, I'm not as popular as the other kids, or I'm not as athletic, so maybe there's something wrong with me. For us as adults, what happens is we say, man, I don't have a nice job as this person. I don't make as much money, and my car's not as nice, and my house is falling apart, and man, everybody else, it looks like they've got their life together, so there must be something wrong with me. That's insecurity that we feel. We're not confident in who we are in Christ. And what it shows is we're just really not trusting God. And the second part of that is envy. And what envy is, it's constantly comparing ourselves to others and then having jealousy, wanting what they have. And what envy says is it says, what I have, it's not enough. I need more. And it's, you know, I think all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, we fall into this all the time. We're not content with what we have. We look at what everyone else has and we feel envy. John Stott wrote this. He said, contentment is the secret of inward peace. It remembers the stark truth that we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Life, in fact, is a pilgrimage from one moment of nakedness to another. So we should travel light and live simply. Our enemy is not possessions, but excess. Our battle cry is not nothing, but enough. We've got enough. Simplicity says if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And I hope that kind of gets us thinking as we go through this series. Are we content? Or are we struggling with envy? Let me just ask you a question this morning. What's the one thing that's separating you from joy in your life? It's a tough question, isn't it? If I asked you to fill in the blank, I will be happy when, what would you say? I will be happy when, what would you fill in the blank? And that kind of shows, right? It shows what maybe the idols are in our life. It shows what we are envious of. It shows what we are seeking satisfaction and purpose and meaning from in life. And all of us, we have something we could fill in that blank. I will be happy when, and we just fill in that blank. And when we take the time to acknowledge that, what we're doing is what we're doing. We're kind of rooting out the idols in our life. I will be happy when I win the Powerball lottery. And a lot of people are putting I saw this morning on my phone, nobody won it last night. Right? So it's going to be up to over like $1.3 billion or something the next time. Can I just tell you, your chances of winning that are 1 in 292 million. Okay? I mean, In other words, your chances of winning that are zero, mathematically. It's crazy. And people say, if I win that, I saw one guy interviewed on TV, and it was not good what he said. I'm sorry. Stream of consciousness here. Get back on track. Ask me about it after the service, I'll tell you. But there, I mean, people think, man, if I win the lottery, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. And the reality is, most of them, if they win the lottery, they're going to be miserable. You see how many people that win lotteries end up bankrupt? Do you realize that what lotteries are really is a tax on poor people because they put so much hope in them, they spend all their income and their excess cash on that, just hoping they can pull themselves out of the trap they're in. You know, it's just, again, it's what we see is people are looking for happiness and joy in places other than Christ. And what happens is when we're discontent, when we're not happy with what we have now, we find ourselves being upset and envious of others. Oh, and let me just give you a few ways that we find ourselves envying others. One is when we are envious of the material things and their financial success. And so if someone shares, hey, I just got a new car, do you immediately feel upset? Do you start saying, well, how did they afford that? I can't believe they got another car. Or if they go on vacation, do you say, isn't that their second time they've gone to the beach this year? How do they afford that on what they make? Do you find yourselves being envious of other people's maybe their resources, their stuff, their trips? 1 John 2:15 says this. It says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love this world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. That's a pretty straightforward scripture for us this morning. That when we find ourselves envying the stuff, the things of this world, what we've done is we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. What we've done is we've started saying, well, that stuff is what will make me happy. And if they have it, I should have it. And if they have it and I don't have it, then I'm mad because I want it. Maybe it's relational envy that gets you. So, you know, all your friends go out to dinner and they post a food selfie, right? A picture of their food, and they show a picture of all of them having fun. You think, why wasn't I invited? They left me out again. Or you see your friends having fun and you think, man, I should be in that. Or you see maybe someone is start a new relationship and you feel like that, man, why can't that be me? Or you see somebody and they have a great relationship with their kids and their kids look perfect. They're not, right? And you see all that and you think, man, I wish I had what they had. We fall into that relational envy trap. Maybe it's, you know, you're just working two jobs and you're worn out and you never have time to do anything fun, and you look out and you see people on vacation and you feel like, man, I can never do that. That's relational envy. A third thing is just circumstantial envy. Just you get envious of the circumstances in people's lives. You see what other people are doing and what they're, you know, where they're working, how they're living, and then you look at your life and you say, why can't I be like that? You think, man, by this age, I thought I would have been a lot more successful. Or maybe one of your friends has gotten pregnant and you've been trying and you're still struggling, and you think, why them and why not me? Do you see the problem we have with envy? Proverbs 14:30. Look at this verse. It's interesting. It says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Are we at peace with what we have? Are we at peace with the circumstances in our life? Are we at peace with what God is doing in our lives? Are we constantly looking to other people's stuff, other people's status, other people's situations? See, all that's envy. And this next point is kind of an important one, is envy. It's not just that it's unhealthy. You see, there's something far worse about envy. It's not just unhealthy, it's sinful. It's sinful. Do you realize that? That what we're talking about this morning, it's not just like, oh, this is a little self-help, pat yourself on the back, you can kind of, let's be happy and smile when we leave here. We're talking about sin. Look at Galatians 5. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Pretty tough stuff so far, right? What's the next one? Can we just say it together? Jealousy, envy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right in the middle of that list of sins, he kind of throws in, oh, jealousy. Do you see why we're talking, what we're talking about this morning is so important? This is not just something that's, oh, that's unhealthy. I want you to be happier and healthy as we go into 2016. This is sin that we've got to address in our life. We need to kill those comparisons that we keep placing on ourselves because it is sinful. James 3 says it this way. It says, but if you are bitterly jealous, and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. It kind of changes the conversation a little bit. When we start realizing that really what I would say jealousy and envy are is they're gateway sins. You know what I mean by that? Once you find yourself opening that door and struggling with jealousy and envy, it's a gateway to lead you to more evil and disorder and chaos in your life. And when we realize the issue is contentment, when we realize the issue is where do we find our satisfaction in life, what it does, it kind of helps us realize the importance of our identity in Christ. We can even go back to the Old Testament in Exodus 20, right? This is not something that's new. You must not covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife, the male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. It's one of the Ten Commandments. We go all the way back. So let me give you kind of a handle on what this envy is and what it looks like in our life. Envy is, it really is rejecting God's goodness in other people's lives, and it's ignoring God's goodness in your own life. This is good right here. I'm telling you. This is where I would say pay attention to this, because this is where we start getting down to the practical side of let's start making a difference here. It's rejecting God's goodness and other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life. I could tell you so many, there's personal examples you probably have of this where someone else got the promotion and you didn't get it and you were mad, you resented them, you were, I can't believe that. Or maybe, you know, you see that you're just not happy when other people are successful. It's not just on a personal level. You see this in churches all the time. You get excited, right, when God is doing great things in your church and people are getting saved and we can rejoice in what God is doing here. But how do you feel like when another church starts taking off and growing and doing great? Do you rejoice in that? Do you get happy about that? There's a pastor down in Raleigh, I was reading in one of his books, and he said the problem was he was busy trying to say, God, build my kingdom instead of build your kingdom. And God kind of spoke to him and said, okay, what if I bless another church and thousands of people, revival breaks out and thousands of people get saved in your community? It's what you're praying for, but what if it happens in another church and not yours? And that kind of woke him up to realize, wait a minute, maybe there's some selfishness, maybe there's some pride, maybe there's jealousy, maybe there's envy that I'm struggling with. And I would say that for our church as well. We've got to be careful We can rejoice as long as people are getting saved, as long as God's word is being preached. It doesn't have to be here at Cornerstone. You guys understand that, right? There will be more churches that start in this community. And when they do, instead of being jealous, instead of being envious, let's be excited that God is moving and working and that lives are being changed. Let's work together with other churches and partner together to change this community. Let's build God's kingdom and not Cornerstone's kingdom. And you start realizing what this looks like. Envy, it's resenting and rejecting God's goodness in other lives, but it's also ignoring God's goodness in our own life. Romans 12:15 says this. It says, be happy with those who are happy. Are we happy with those who are happy? Do we weep with those who weep? Can we rejoice when God is moving and working? Craig Rochelle said this. He said, perhaps the reason God is not blessing you with something you want is because you're not celebrating God's blessing in someone else's life. That kind of wakes you up a little bit. Makes us think. When you see someone else being blessed in a way that you want to be blessed, celebrate with them. Join in and be happy. Did someone else get the job you want? Try this prayer. God, thank you for blessing them with that job. I'm so happy for them. I'm glad that you're working in their life. When someone gets something that you feel like you deserve, instead of getting mad and jealous, thank God for the blessing on their life. Start celebrating the success in other people's lives. And then what we've got to do is not ignore what God is doing in our life. So many times we just end up being ungrateful. Discontent and unhappy about everything that's happening in our life. Again, I just want to keep going back to that this envy is a sin and this envy is a problem we've got to deal with. 1 Corinthians says this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in the Christian life. So Paul's laying it out here. Okay, I'm wanting to talk to you as mature people, but I can't. You're like infants. You're like babies here. And why is that? I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. Why? For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Why? You are jealous of one another. You see the problem with jealousy here. It leads to, it keeps going. You quarrel, you're getting mad, you're arguing with each other. Doesn't this prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? You see, this is so important. It's resenting that goodness in other people's life and it's ignoring it in your own life. It's having that attitude that, man, nothing is ever good enough. I need to be better. I want to be better. I want to be more like someone else. It's this comparison trap we fall into. Down in Charleston, South Carolina, there's a seafood restaurant I like down there. It's called Hyman Brothers Seafood. I don't know if anybody knows. I see a few people. Yeah, okay. See, you know, that's God's place down there. You get in that some seafood. It's some good stuff. They have a poster on the wall when you go in, and y'all have to look for this if you ever go. And they actually have little index cards with it that you can take home. And it's a Chuck Swindoll quote, Pastor Chuck Swindoll. And it says this. It says, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, the education, the money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. And can I just tell you what envy and what jealousy does? It just starts creating that bitter attitude in us when we're unhappy. We don't have joy in our life. And I just, most of us kind of feel like life is 90% what happens to us and only 10% how we react to it. And the reality is it's far different. As believers in Christ, it changes how we react. It changes how we respond. It changes where we find our meaning and our fulfillment and our purpose. You know, I can't think of anyone in history that had a better handle on this and a better understanding of how we respond than Paul in the Bible. And kind of the last passage I want to share with you this morning is in Philippians 4. Paul was in a prison in Rome, being chained to a guard 24 hours a day. He was under arrest here in a damp prison. And he writes a book about joy. He writes a whole letter about joy. And then we get to chapter 4, and this is what he's saying. While he's in prison, he says, "Not that I ever was in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And I've preached on this verse before and preached how we kind of misuse this verse. It's not about, hey, I can do anything. This verse is, it doesn't matter if I have food. It doesn't matter what situation I find myself in. It's all right because I have Christ. He is all I need. And as long as I have Christ, it doesn't matter what circumstance. It doesn't matter whether I have success or failure. It doesn't matter if I have food or I'm hungry. If I have Christ, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And when we take that mindset into it, what we realize is this last point. It's simply this. For we will always struggle with discontentment and envy until we let Christ be all that we need. I'm just telling you, if you're looking for happiness, purpose, and meaning and fulfillment in anything other than Christ, you will never find it. You will never find it. If you keep going in Philippians 4, just a few verses later, verse 19, this is what Paul says. He said, "This same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus." He's not saying, "I'm going to give you a Mercedes." But he said, "I'm going to give you all that you need. Not all that you want, not all that you desire, not all that your neighbor has, but all that you need." And so this morning, I don't want you to miss this. You're going to battle with discontentment. You're going to battle with envy. You're going to battle with jealousy until you let Christ be everything you need. If you don't believe me, just try chasing after happiness through your stuff. It's going to let you down. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. King Solomon. He's looking for happiness. He's looking for joy. He's looking for purpose. He's looking for meaning in everything, and women and money and possessions. He's looking for it in alcohol and everything in the world. He's looking at it, and he comes back, and this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 6:9. He says, "Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have." That's good. "Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind." And I know, let's be honest, how many of you have been dreaming about what you would do if you won $900 million? Right? I mean, it's hard not to do. I mean, it's hard not to say, "Man, if I won that lottery, I'm going to, I've already got it planned out." Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Dreaming about nice things, it's meaningless. It leads us down this path of discontentment. It leads us down this path of saying that nothing is ever good enough. Here's what I want you to know this morning as we close. The praise team's going to come back up. You were created for eternity. Nothing on earth will ever satisfy you apart from Christ. You may try to find your happiness in your stuff. You may try to find your happiness in your relationships. I don't care where you try to find your happiness and your joy and your fulfillment. It will always let you down if you look anywhere other than Christ. And so this morning, as we go into our response time, and our response time is just simply how we end our services here at Cornerstone. We ask ourselves these two questions. Okay, God, what are you saying to me this morning? Okay, God, what are you speaking to me? And then what am I going to do about it? We give you the opportunity to respond in a number of ways, right? You can respond. We've got communion that we'll set out here in a minute. You can come up and remember and just thank God for what he's done in your life. And remember what he did on the cross for you. We've got the cross where you can go and leave your prayer requests, leave your burdens at the cross. We've got all these different ways that you can respond. Maybe it's praying, maybe it's singing. But here's what I want to focus on this morning. Some of you need to decide that you want to make Jesus your everything. That you're not going to look anywhere else for fulfillment. For some of you, the reason you're struggling with envy and jealousy is because Jesus is not your Lord and he's not your Savior. And this morning, my invitation to you was you respond. Will you guys pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you just thankful for what you're doing here in our church. Lord, I'm thankful for what you're doing in our lives. And may this morning, may we ask ourselves the question, Lord, what do we do in response to what we've heard? My prayer is that for each person in this room, that they would be able to identify areas in their life that they have turned into idols, things that they are searching for significance and meaning in. And we can repent from that, that we can confess where we have fallen short and where we have put other things on the throne in our life. And may we, Lord, just turn back to you. But there's also people in this room, Lord, I know that maybe are struggling with jealousy and envy and discontent because they're searching for meaning in things of this world. And they've never really surrendered their life to you. May this morning be the morning where they just simply say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of chasing after purpose, after meaning and things of this world. And Lord, I want to respond to you this morning. If that's you, if you're here in this place this morning and that's your prayer, would you just pray with me this morning? Just, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I know I've searched for meaning and purpose and fulfillment and other things, Lord, and I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I confess my sin. I repent for my sin, and I turn to Jesus. I turn to the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me to take my sin and to take my shame. And Lord, this morning, I want to just place my life in your hands. I want to put my faith in you. I want to put my trust in you. I believe in you. And Lord, I want you to save me, to change me, and to transform me to be more like Jesus. If that's your prayer this morning, I want you to know that Jesus heard it. That Jesus will save you. He will transform you. He will change the rest of your life. You embark on a new journey with him that is an adventure. It's not easy, but it is. You will find purpose and significance and meaning in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And as we close out, as we respond to you, Lord, just help us, Lord, just to be obedient, to do what you've called us to do, to be who you've called us to be, your children. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll be in the back if you want to pray. But we've got a couple of songs now to respond with. And however God's leading you to respond, would you just be obedient this morning?
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free. Set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Whoa.
Jealous for me, he loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
Father God, we thank you for the way you love us, God, that you love us through our sins and our failures, God. We ask that you would just forgive us where we fall short, God. Help us to compare ourselves to you, compare our lives to Christ's life, to your word, and not to others around us, God. Help us, God, to always focus on you. It's in Christ's name we pray.